In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today is the fifth and final Sunday of Great Lent, and on this last Sunday of the Great Fast, the Church gives us the person of St. Mary of Egypt to place before us and to teach us, in a way, the same theme that she's been teaching us ever since the Triodium began, the theme of repentance. And the Gospel reading is designated to be read for her is this woman that we just heard from the Gospel of Luke, about the sinful woman who hears that Jesus is at a Pharisee's house to eat. The Pharisee's name is Simon, we find out. And she comes and does all of the things for our Lord that Simon should have done, just as a proper way of greeting guests into your home to care for them. As Jesus says in the Gospel of John, when he washes the disciples' feet, This is what happens. You get dirty as you walk on the dusty roads, and you go into someone's house, you need to have your feet washed. It's the servants of the house that do that. We have to sort of lower ourselves, condescend to serve other people in that way. That's what we have also in the Gospel for the day today, the Gospel from Mark, and James and John want to know if they can be on the left and right when Christ comes in his glory in the kingdom. And this text culminates with Jesus saying, you have the understanding of power and authority are totally upside down. You're still stuck in the ways of the world, thinking that power is having control and might and influence over other people, sort of forcing, compelling, and even manipulating. But he said, I didn't come into the world in that way. I came to not to be served, but to serve. As illustrated by his own washing the disciples' feet and by how he lived his life day in and day out, going to be with the masses, the crowds, healing them, caring for them, listening to them, teaching them, going into Pharisees' homes that were hostile places for him. The Gospel that we're given for St. Mary is this beautiful dialogue where Jesus teaches us this relationship between forgiveness and love, and we might say two-sided. And he expresses both sides in this record of the interaction between the Pharisee and himself. The Pharisees, of course, appalled that Jesus is letting such a sinful person touch him. It must be he doesn't know. If he was really a great prophet, he would know what a sinful person is touching him. He wouldn't want to be defiled in that way. Jesus' reply to this Pharisee's thinking is to ask him a question. Two people owe a creditor a certain amount of money, one a great amount and one a relatively modest amount. They're both forgiven. Which would love him more? Which would be more appreciative? Which would be more grateful, responsive? And the answer, it seems like the obvious answer, is that the one who was given, forgiven more. The one who was in more dire straits. The one whose life was more in bondage to the debt. That's how it is, Jesus said. That's right. But what does that mean? That some people are worse sinners than others? What Jesus is trying to do here, as he does so often in the Gospels, is to say to Simon, you think that you don't have very many sins. You think that you don't have much to be forgiven. And so, when you receive the forgiveness from God, you think it's only just a little thimbleful of love, a little thimbleful of God's forgiveness. And thus you don't have to respond with great love for God, for God's people, His creation, because you're sort of a self-made man. But this woman here, who knows she's a great sinner, she knows that she's in need of this outpouring of love. She knows that she's in bondage. She knows that there's really no hope for her in her life. Apart from the miraculous grace of God being poured into it. So the one side of forgiveness is that God's forgiveness is poured out to everyone, to Simon the Pharisee, to this so-called sinful woman, and to you and I. But how we receive that forgiveness will have a tremendous impact on our response to it, our response of love, if we see ourselves as not really being very sinful. Oh, sure, I do a few little things, just the normal things, not much different. Then there's no open door for God's forgiveness to flood into our lives, for his love to fill us and to cleanse us, because after all, we don't need him very much. So on the one side of the equation, God's forgiven everybody, but we are so inclined to be blind to our own sins, we become more like Simon the Pharisee instead of the sinful woman. This is a theme that goes way back to early weeks of the Triodion, the Pharisee who is so glad that he's not like a tax collector, the tax collector who sees his sins so clearly he can't even lift up his face. In prayer of St. Ephrem, grant that I might not judge my brother but see my own sins. This is a theme that's absolutely necessary for us if we're to be the recipients of the fullness of God's love and forgiveness. But then Jesus, as he goes on explaining this to Simon, really says what seems like just the opposite. It's not those, simply those who are forgiven much, love much, but he says to Simon about this woman that her sins are forgiven because she loved much. So in the first case, her love is a response to the forgiveness, but in the second case, the forgiveness is a response to her love. So it goes both ways in this very text. And it's important that it goes both ways because forgiveness has to be received. Human beings, indeed, as the Holy Trinity itself is, are profoundly relational. God can offer to us forgiveness for our many sins. And if we respond to that in love, that response then becomes the actualization of that forgiveness in our life, the setting us free. The sins are really taken away, really removed, personally, experientially. It's forgiveness received. So on the one hand, forgiveness granted is the occasion in which, if we admit of these sins, we'll want to love greatly. And if we have that response, it'll be forgiveness received. This sort of two sides, two aspects of this transaction, this communion with God, seen in many different ways. If someone said, by whom are you saved? We'd say, well, by Christ. We would quote to Acts. There's no other name in heaven or on earth given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name Jesus. Christ alone saves. But what did he say at the very end of today's gospel text? He says it often after curing or healing or forgiving someone. He says to this woman, your faith has saved you. He didn't say, I saved you. He said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So just like with forgiveness and love, salvation and faith, nobody is saved apart from Christ. That salvation is granted to all, but that salvation has to be received, granted and received. So Christ is the one who saves. But we save ourselves when we have faith in Christ, when we rely on him, when we look to him, when we don't think of ourselves as self-made human beings who don't really need his help, or need a little bit for this little sin, that little sin. But we don't see ourselves as St. Paul did, and as we'll say, in every divine liturgy in preparation for receiving Holy Communion, I'm the first, the foremost, the chief among sinners. I'm at the front of the line of sin. So these two aspects of our relationship to Christ are profoundly important. And in one case, we can only really have our eyes, we can only really see this granting of forgiveness if we beseech God to open our eyes to our own sinfulness, not the sins of others, to the ways in which our sins, no matter how small and trivial, cut us off from God, separate as maybe we get along fine in the world, in the temporary, fallen, and fragile world, but severed from living relationship with our Creator, and so used to it that we don't even notice it. And so we ask that God gives us the eyes of the sinful woman, the eyes of St. Mary of Egypt, to see our own sins and the consequences and effects of those sins in our lives, the way in which it severs us, so that we can really see that we don't just need a thimbleful of God's forgiveness and love, we need oceans of His forgiveness and His love for us. And if we do that, if our eyes are opened in that way, and we're really willing, it's a real choice to be willing to go in to weep at the Savior's feet, to humble ourselves, to be a servant of Him and of others in this world as a response to His love for us, then He'll be able to say to us, just as He did to this sinful woman, just as He did to St. Mary of Egypt, just as He did to St. Paul, who, blind as a Pharisee, was able to have his own eyes open. Your sins are forgiven because you've loved much. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,